Welcome to the Culture Crush. Today we are in Paris. It's summertime, and I am with Yodit Eklund, who is the founder of Bantu Wax. Welcome, Yodit.
Thank you.
And the brand is an African surf brand, and something that at the Culture Crush we're very interested right now in looking for culture and youth culture, newly born around the world. And Yodit has built this brand all on her own, probably a lot of help from her friends, which we'll hear all about. And it's an incredible story, and I can't wait to hear all the details. So Yodit, so start off just by telling us, you know, like, why did you decide to do this? Like, a little bit about yourself and what you were doing before, and what made you want to do this? Like, where did this idea come from?
To be honest, like, I never planned on building like a business. It was, I had graduated before this. I was at school in California, went to Berkeley, studying environmental science and economics. And after I graduated, I moved back to Africa, and I made some board shorts and swimsuits for some friends out of like wax printed swimwear. We used technical swimwear fabric to make some swimsuits with like traditional African prints. But it was never even supposed to be like this thing. And basically a friend of mine had sent pictures of this stuff to Barney's, just like info@barneys.com. And we got called in for a meeting. And they picked it up, and so it kind of just like it became a business kind of on its own without me really. I didn't know what a line sheet was. So right. Like, where's your line sheet? I was like, what's that? I'm like, I can make you one if you tell me.
So you
me
just
how
had
to
like a couple of swimsuits.
Like, I just had like some swimsuits, right?
And what and they probably saw called like cool fabrics.
Yeah,
you know?
And no, and they were really into the fact that it was like an African surf brand, you know, like yeah. So they picked it up, and then I was doing one season a year for 4 years.
Right.
And then everyone.
And you were based
like,
out of
Africa. I'm living in Africa mostly.
Where exactly?
Like I travel so much. So we do production a lot in Ethiopia, in Kenya. We do some production in South Africa. And we have a surf shop now in Senegal, and we have a surf shop in South Africa and in Morocco.
That came later.
Yeah, that came later. Okay. But basically, so like at the time, I was still pretty much based in running production, you know, and then doing like fashion weeks for sales, you know.
Right. Because so many brands have like tried to say, oh, we're going to make stuff in Africa, and Africa is the next like market, and the fashion business is always trying to exploit the next market, and then here you are, and you were just walking the walk right from the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a local African surf brand, you know, so it's like makes sense to be made in Africa,
right?
You know, so it's like yeah, it's like there's a lot of reasons why Bantu's made in Africa, you know, but at the end of the day, it's an African surf brand, should be made in Africa, you
right.
know. And basically we were doing like one collection a year for 4 years, and everyone's like, oh, well, maybe you should do resort, maybe
right.
you should do resort, you know. So it was really like the business really like grew really organically, you know. It was never us like being, we never had like an aggressive sales team. It was kind of like people really finding interest in it. And like I think Africa youth culture today, there's nothing more exciting, you know. There's almost 1 billion people in Africa. 75% of them are under the age of 30. So you have a big youth culture, you know, so inevitably there's a lot of culture coming out of Africa, whether it be art, music, other ways to express yourself, you know, and Africans are resourceful, you know, and so I think that's what makes it so interesting.
And what about the name Bantu? Where does that come from?
So Bantu is Senegalese, it's from the Senegalese language Wolof, and it means gateway, because for centuries, people of Senegal considered their country on the westernmost tip the gateway to Africa.
Right.
And then wax, because we make surf wax, our swimsuits were wax print.
Right.
Yeah, so
okay.
Like,
and okay, so you're selling at Barney's and like doing the fashion route, just in terms of the sales and the not so much
cool.
the fashion
really,
route, but the apparel industry and that whole vibe.
Yeah. So we were like really, really, really lucky, you know. I'm so lucky to have so many people really supported us, you know, when we didn't know what we were doing, you know. I had no idea what I was doing, you know, and we really had a lot of support, and like I really owe all of our wholesalers, everything, because like this brand exists also because of them, you know? But it came to the point where the brand was, you were able to buy in Hawaii or in Japan or in Spain and New York, London, but it wasn't available in Africa because I think I was being so protective of it in Africa. I didn't really find retail that I wanted to put it in. So I was kind of babying it. I was like, no, I'd rather not until I do it myself, you know?
What's retail like in Africa? Like, is there like a Barney's of Africa or?
No. There's not retail. I mean, has nowhere to go but to grow in Africa, mm-hmm. you know? So basically I pulled out of our wholesale accounts because I really actually wanted to focus on Africa. Cause I was like, why is this brand that I've made, it's an African surf brand, why is it easier for kids in Tokyo to buy it than kids in Africa? You know, why do kids in Africa have to wait till they travel to buy it? You know? And some people are like, oh, you should have kept the wholesale. No, but I really just wanted to focus on Africa. You know, I wanted to be able to surf also. I really do believe in the African market, you know, and I do think that Africa needs a youth culture brand, you know, like it needs
of their own. Yeah. So you're a surfer.
Yeah, I surf.
Yeah. Hence the surf.
I wouldn't say I'm a surfer. Yeah. I surf.
Right. I surf. Know? Right. Okay. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's such an incredible story. I mean, it seems like so obvious but no one's ever really done it. So to have a brand that's like for Africa and that was really brave of you to just decide to not take the easy route of just sticking with the wholesaling sort of setup that you had already and to, you know, really believe for real in what you're doing. One of the things we're talking about a lot right now at the Culture Crush is this idea of, which is sort of like a Gen X idea of like, the worst thing you could do is to be a sellout, you know? And now that doesn't really exist. Now everybody is sort of born to sell out. And now it's like every time you do something, it's like, it's not hashtag someone's not like paying you to make that Instagram post or like every picture and every issue of the Culture Crush. People are like, well, who sponsored that one picture? Who's paying for that? It's just like, not everything is for sale. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or things can be for sale, but like in the right way, at the right time, for the right people, in the right place, you know, in a way that like you believe in and that has a meaning and not just like, oh, quick, let's sell it, like sell out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think for us, it's like, it's not about like not selling out either, because what does that really mean in Bantu situation, basically? Because selling out for us means the brand becomes huge, which means we employ a lot of people in Africa, which means people start thinking of beach in Africa and associating Africa with beach versus like all these other horrible things, which in turn results in tourists coming to Africa, spending money in Africa, an African government saying we need to protect our beaches. So for me, like, I'm not even gonna lie, my goal is to sell out.
Right.
Like, my goal is to sell as much product as we can, but in the right way.
Yeah, but you keep saying, but in the right way. So that's what I mean by sell out. It's like to just take the first, you know, grotesque thing that comes along for your own personal gain, not to benefit the African society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like
you're like sort of underplaying that a little bit. Yeah.
But like, I think like the other thing is for me it's really important that Bantu's sustainable in the sense that like I can't like give someone a job today and like take away their job tomorrow, so it's really, it has to be sustainable. We can't, it's too much on my conscience, you know?
Right. Right.
So it's like, yeah, I want to sell out, but I want to sell out with organic growth, you know?
Right, right. So what kind of, in the past year so you decided to take retail into your own hands, and then so what were the steps that you took?
So I went to Dakar and I spent 6 months looking for a store. And
why Dakar?
Because it's kind of one of the most iconic surf spots in Africa, you know, and the summer it's like the one spot that they go. Bantu comes from Senegalese. West Africa is cool, you know. Yeah. I mean, all of Africa is cool, but it just ended up that we started in Dakar, and Dakar is a peninsula, so you can't really build. There's not really so much space to build. So what you have is a lot of old French colonial architecture. And so when I was looking for storage spaces, either I found these like grotesque, like horrible new buildings that were not representative of the brand at all, or I found these like old French colonial buildings, and I couldn't launch a brand about Africa's future from something of Africa's past, right? Like, so we ended up finding a spot on the beach, and I met with a friend of mine in Abidjan named Issa Diabate, who's an architect, and I asked him what he thought about doing something that would be like containers, you know? And so he helped design this shop, and we have two containers that are stacked up on top of each other, and one's right. A cafe, we have a juice bar, and then downstairs we have a surf store.
Right. A juice bar and a surf shop.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Very trendy.
Yeah.
For Senegal.
Yeah, right. But it's cool because it's on a surf spot, you know? So it's really like become like a hub, you know? And then
So you have all the product there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, then what happened?
Then I ended up connecting with a friend of mine in South Africa. And we decided to bring Bantu to South Africa. So we have a shop in an area that used to actually be a beach called Woodstock in Cape Town. We opened a second store in Cape Town.
What do you mean it used to be a beach?
Well, it used to be a beach and then like filled it with like land, you know? But it was kind of, it's kind of a cool part of Cape Town, you know?
Okay.
And really mixed. You know, a lot of Cape Town's not really so mixed. I really like the fact that it's kind of everyone's there.
Yeah, so, I mean, South Africa is very different from other African countries. Is it like more international, or is it still...
It's like one of the top 10... Cape Town's one of the top 10 places that tourists visit in the world.
Right,
you know?
Okay, that's what I was getting
what's
at.
What's cool is like there's Africans from all over Africa come to South Africa. It's kind of a hub, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only that we get like international from Europe or America or Australia tourists, but we also get other Africans that maybe we might not be able to reach otherwise.
Right. Who are coming from all over Africa.
Yeah.
And then they can experience Bantu in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Right. And so what's the scene in Dakar then? Is that like mostly Senegalese?
Yeah, it's mostly Senegalese. And then you have people who come to surf. Like, it's a spot where people actually travel to come surf.
Okay.
Because Dakar is, like, actually, I think, one of... It's a city where you see people get out of their suits to change into a wetsuit after work or before work.
Right.
You know?
That's really cool.
So it's really, like, an urban surf scene. There's at least 10 spots in Dakar itself to surf, you know? So there's always somewhere, something you can surf, you know? It's pretty cool.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have another shop in Morocco.
We have a shop opening in Morocco in a place called Tarazout, which is one of the best surf spots in the world also. And it's just like this little fisherman's village with amazing surf, you know. We have a tiny little store there.
And are you doing the same concept with the containers?
No,
all the
we
places?
Just found a really small store that this Berber guy owns.
Right. So you're just taking over something that was already there.
Yeah.
And so what's the Morocco? I mean, I think of desert. But I guess it's on the water. So
yeah.
I don't think of it as surfing.
Yeah.
Or fishing or anything like that. I don't know. So what's it like? Like, what's the culture there? What's it like?
It's a really cool surf scene because you can surf year round. And it's really close to Europe. So you have a lot of people from Europe that come. And Morocco itself has a really fast-growing surf scene. You can surf all up and down the coast of Morocco, you know. Casablanca really has, like, a cool surf scene as well, you know. Again, it's like Dakar, you know, in Casa. You see guys come out after work to come for a surf or before work to go surf, you know. Same thing with Cape Town, you know. So we really wanted to, like, be in places where it was, like, really urban surf because Africa is urbanizing, you know. And it does have amazing nature, and like the combination of both is really interesting.
Urban surf.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's especially in, I mean, you know, I just, I keep asking questions that might sound silly to you, but it's like, people know so little about African culture,
yeah.
You know, modern day African culture. We're just fed these images and this, you know, whole vibe. And, or anytime you say, oh, I'm going to Africa, people just assume you're going on safari. Like,
yeah.
That's it, you know? And I mean, you know, and I think, even when I think of Bantu, I'm like, you know, people almost say Africa and they think of it like as one country, one big messed up country. But in fact, you know, it's a continent, you know, with all of these different things and different languages and this and a million, billion different things going on. So, I mean, you really have launched this international brand in a market that's would be close to impossible, I think, for an outsider to come in and, like, you know, do something like that. So, you know, you're very soft-spoken, but you accomplish a lot. So it's really an incredible story, you know, what a difference a t-shirt can make the world, right?
But I think, like, the one thing to say is, like, it's true Africa is like a continent. It's true it's made of many countries. But a lot of Africa is experiencing the same thing today. You know, we're going through the same kind of motions. You know, we have the same similar demographics of huge youth culture. Africa is doing business with Africa more and more now. So it's really interesting. So it's like, yeah, as much as it is separate countries, because we share so much in common, you know, I feel like it's still united, you know, even though there's no, like, EU of Africa, you know what I mean? So it's like,
EU, that's...
Yeah, another topic.
Now, there's so many topics we can't talk about. But anyway, it's the culture crush. We only talk about stories we love, things we love. So every time you keep saying, like, African youth culture, so, like, what's African youth culture? Like, what makes it African and, like, what's unique about it?
I think one thing for sure is, like, the resourcefulness, you know, of, like, you know, like, in Africa, the kids, it's like swag on steroids because of how resourceful they are finding things and mixing things and color combinations and print combinations and, you know, material combinations and the functionality of it, because they have very active lives, whether it's like hopping on a bus or, like, you know, running around or whatever. So it's really interesting, you know, and it's really inspiring. And then, like, basically, like, Africa's youth is also very connected. There's more mobile users in Africa today than in North America. And so it's like it's an African surf brand, talks about surfing waves, you know, but Africa's also surfing. They're surfing the net. They're surfing, you know, these, like, virtual channels, you know. They know what's going on around the world. They know what's going on in other African countries. They know what their friends are doing, their peers are doing. So it's just really an exciting time, because, like, when you look up a hashtag of something in Africa, I think people are seeing very different images to what they're used to seeing on BBC and CNN and, right, you know, dictated. So it's like now Africa's youth actually can tell their own story.
So give me some examples when you say, if you hashtag Africa, like, what, so now what comes up?
It's not, yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, it could be many different things, you know, so, like, it just depends. Like, if you hashtag Dakar, I mean, we can do it right now. Let's see what comes up.
Okay, let's see what comes up.
Let's see. Okay, so I see some footballers.
Right.
I see some fancy cars. I see a woman in some kind of, like, African outfit. I see something from the Dakar Art Biennale. You know, so it's really, like, I just see some teenagers being teenagers.
Right.
I mean, you race cars for the Dakar Rally. You know, so it's, I mean, you're not seeing really many pictures of starving kids, you know? It's not like that kid with the fly on his face anymore. It's not, I mean, maybe someone uploads that, like, but that's what's great about Instagram, is, like, there's many images, you know? You're not, like, it's not, like, spoon-fed to you, you know?
Right,
like, you can
right.
look into it.
So when you say that teenagers being teenagers, I mean... So that's the other side of the question is, do you see also Western culture seeping in?
Well, yeah. For sure, you know, but I mean, I think it's a global culture, you know, like, yeah. I think we have like local cultures and then we have global culture. But I think it goes back and forth, right? So like, I see like a lot of rappers, for example, really pulling from African music and from Africa's culture, you know, like, you know, the Kendrick Lamar, when he talks about Negus, you know, so he was basically talking about how Negus was, he was comparing that to, basically the N-word, you know, mm-hmm. and saying that in Ethiopia, Negus is a king, you know, right. and basically kind of changed the translation. Yeah, but kind of changed the discourse, you know. I think it's really cool, you know. But then you see also African kids are now like really embracing hip hop or electronic music, and you see in the electronic music scenes, African music's becoming a big deal, you know. And so it's like, it's kind of like this exchange, and I think that's what's amazing, you know. It's not like one stealing from the other. It's like, it's really an exchange, yeah. you know. And in a world we're living in right now where there's not enough of that, it's cool to find that in the creative field.
So is that something you're interested in doing, or collaborations with, like back and forth with different people and things? What are the products? I mean,
make everything.
So you started off with swimwear and then.
So we started off with swimwear, just because it was like what I could handle. Like I said, I didn't come from a fashion background. Right. Like for me to get like the bikini right took forever.
Right.
You know, but we make swimwear, board shorts, bikinis. We make t-shirts. We make wetsuits, hats, bags, wallets, babouche, you know.
Yeah.
So we pull from like, you know, African things, and some things are really just your basic t-shirt with cool print, you know.
So wetsuits, that's a whole different business.
Yeah,
it's like getting into denim. That's like a whole other business, right?
But we found a great partner for the wetsuits.
Are those made in Africa too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, yeah. If we can't make it in Africa, we're not making it. Right. You know.
Okay.
Trying to keep it really local.
And so, what do you see? What's next? What are you feeling?
Like I said, like I kind of just let this brand grow organically. So I guess. I'm not so sure, you know, just see where we go.
Right.
Okay. Without, you know what I mean? Nothing's really like forced, or we're not like on some aggressive like growth strategy.
Right.
You know, we're just trying to build our business. Right.
Do you have anything like actually in development now that's like that? So your opening in Morocco is next on the agenda.
Yeah.
And so when is that going to be?
So that's going to open.
This year. Yeah. Okay. That's really exciting. Yeah. Are there any other cities that you're dying to open a shop in?
No, I think like right now, I mean, there's like a lot of cities I would love to open shops in, you know, there's a lot of great surf in Africa. I'd love to have an excuse to go. But like right now we're really focused on those three places, you know, we're really trying to focus on growing our business in Morocco, growing our business in South Africa, you know? So just taking it one day at a time, really.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. So I hope that we get to do some stuff together, and I would love to get the band to sort of point of view on that culture, on African surf culture. So fingers crossed we can make this happen and do something together for the next issue.
That would be awesome.
All right, great. So anyway, well, it was great to speaking. Thanks for letting me stop by. You're here in Paris, we are. Ships crossing in the night. Anyway, thanks for having me at your place and for coming on the show. And I hope we do lots of stuff together in the future.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, great.